O Lord of the Gopis, please lend your ears to that which is now being submitted to you by Lalita, who is the most dear friend of that gopi, whom you loved above all others when you resided here in Vrindavan. She pays her respectful obeisances at your feet. Murari, the calf you so carefully reared by feeding her the fresh leaves and stems of lotus flowers, has now given birth to her first calf, and the weight of her udder is so great that the teats hang down below her knees. How beautiful she looks. Do you remember that Madhavi sapling you took from the Kadamba grove and replanted by the mango tree, as if to make it the mango's lifelong wife-like companion? It was only little then, a foot high, with two or three leaves on it. Now it has grown so big. Yet in your absence, she sheds tears constantly in the form of sap, which gushes down her side. Seeing her deplorable condition, we are all pushed to the brink of tears. There was once a child who took birth in the womb of Yasoda, and who was to become the abode of the greatest happiness for the cowherds of Vrindavan. Another child was born in the stone-like womb of Gandini, who was to put an end to the glory of the land of Gokula. O Murari, the demons you killed seem to have returned one by one. Aristasura seems to have shaken the beautiful-eyed gopi girls and thrown them to the brink of calamity. Trinavarta has returned as the grasses covering the unused playgrounds of the Lord. And Vyomasura has returned by making the whole area of Vrindavan seem as empty as outer space. O Krishna, under no circumstance should you come to Vrindavan, for its trees have become so dreadfully poisonous that the whole place is a danger area. If that were not so, then why is it that the gopis seem to be falling unconscious just by breathing the perfumed air? It must be toxic fumes from the flowers. What else could it be? O Yadunath, we are but ordinary country women, and therefore you should not waste your time thinking of us when the princesses of Mathura are at your service. Gone is the time when you would wander in the forest at night, secretly making your way into our houses to meet with us, or even just to catch a glimpse of us. O Lord, we do not blame you for having forsaken us, because persons possessing a dark complexion can rarely give up their deceitfulness. Just consider the case of the cuckoos. The crow rears them from the time of their incubation. But even so, as soon as the cuckoo's wings have developed and they become able to fly, they forget even such dear benefactors as the crow forever. O undisputed Lord of Vrindavan, I have finished my preamble. Listen to the drama which is even now being enacted there. I must ask you one question. Do you remember the two unfortunate syllables, Radha? O Krishna, you used to be so attracted to your affairs in the caves of Govardhan and the forest groves. What anguish it is for me that everyone is whispering about the misfortune of the gopis. For she who was formerly the supreme in your estimation has now become reduced to nothing more than any other common woman. O foremost of the Yadu clan, it is impossible for Srimati Radhika to live if you remain forgetful of Vrindavan. She is thinking that if death does not favor her soon, then how will she be able to pass the days seeing the picturesque landscape, which was formerly the abode of joy for her, but is now simply a source of endless torture in your absence? But death does not favor her either. Her tears have formed a river, whose waves have become even more forceful than those of the Yamuna. Considering this, Yamaraj, Yamuna's elder brother, has become envious and does not oblige Srimati, even when she cries out, "O Lord of Death, please have mercy on me, as I do not wish to live another moment." Our dearest friend Radha saw your inexplicably attractive form engaged in different sporting activities only once and immediately lost her sense of discrimination as to what is beneficial or harmful. Like a moth speedily enters into fire, she entered helplessly into a blazing fire of love for you, giving up all hopes of ever being happy again. O Krishna, you are to the residents of Vrindavan what the moonlight is to the water lily. Radhika is a victim of her own foolishness, for even now she has not been able to remove from her heart even slightly the memory of that person who is responsible for her distress. All these afflictions are self-imposed. Kubja now freely enjoys the pleasure of carefree residence in your heart. So who can be more fortunate than she? My simple friend Radha has somehow become bereft of her pious activities because she is no longer able to enter into that abode for even a moment. O destroyer of the Mora demon, when Srimati faints at the whistling sound of bamboos in the wind, remembering the sound of your flute, the elderly persons become puzzled and search for the cause of her malady. Some fear that she has been possessed by spirits, while some apprehend that she was bitten by some cruel serpent, not knowing actually, yes, she has been bitten by that snake Akora. Others ascribe the cause to epilepsy, but no one actually knows. Oh, most beautiful one, your form is like honey for the starving eyes of the world. You left for Mathura so long ago, and Radha has become most anxious due to not receiving any news of you. Lately, new waves of ominous fear are dancing constantly in the inner chambers of her mind. Listen while I tell you how she passes her days. Sometimes she offers her respects to those sages whose words are known to be unfailing in hopes of getting advice as to how she can get you back. She sometimes tries to please the mystics who know various spells, thinking there must surely be some mantra she can chant that will force you to come back. Sometimes she humbly renders service to those who know the art of using potions in order to get their help. On occasion, she prays to Parvati Devi for the benediction of seeing you. O Krishna, that poor girl sees nothing of merit anywhere in this world due to being upset by your absence. O enemy of Kamsa, my dearest friend now spends her day in Nandishwar, worshipping you as she remembers you, as the protector of the animals in Vrindavan, as one sporting a fresh peacock feather in his headdress, as one engaged in such whimsical sports that would cause the cupidity of all women to increase, as one whose form is more beautiful than that of a new rain cloud, and who is always enjoying new loving affairs. All she desires is to have you by her side. That is all she prays for, either to you directly, or to Shiva, or any other god. Radha has become so confused that drawing a captivating image of you on the ground, with the juice of a tamal tree, she embraces the neck of that image with her vine-like arms and falls unconscious. Alas, she is no longer able to distinguish reality from non-reality. O Krishna, thinking of you has completely stunned the senses of Radha. Even so, The fire of separation does not stop burning her. This intolerable suffering does not let up even for a moment. Although you have cruelly thrown Radhika into a heap of sufferings, still she thinks of you and your activities even now. That most perfect of chaste women thinks that your heart must be broken due to separation from her, and thus her own heart breaks day by day. O destroyer of Kamsa, our sweetest friend Radha has become absorbed in deep yogic trance because she has heard that you always reveal yourself to such meditators. She is preparing herself for the hardest of austerities because she thinks that in this way people are favored by your appearance before them. O Krishna, our dearest friend causes all her associates to become despondent because she remains constantly bathed in tears as she calls out to your names. O Murari, Mukunda, Hari, O son of Nanda. She also sings of your qualities. The hue of your body is no different from that of a blue lotus blooming in the waters of the Yamuna. You are the delight of the house of Nanda Maharaj, and you are the jewel amongst the gods. The blazing fire of separation from you is burning up the forest of Radha's body. It has surrounded the doe of her life. And to make matters worse, Cupid is like a hunter mercilessly shooting his arrows at her. All these circumstances have become so overpowering. I fear this doe shall be forced to abandon the forest of Radha's body within a day or two. Therefore, if you wish to see her again in this life, you had better come quickly, for there's not much time left. Radhika has now surrendered herself fully to Shiva, whose body is white like foam of the ocean of milk, and who is crowned by the moon. Since he is the subduer of Cupid, it is beyond the power of Eros to do any harm to her. Only you, for some reason, remain tormenting her constantly for the sake of your own amusement. O jewel of the Yadu dynasty, you do not know the intense feelings of the cowherd maidens. Neither do we know what magic causes us to go on loving you despite your cruelty. Your friend Uddhava, who was known as a madman in his childhood because of his absorption in love for you, has tried to mitigate our sufferings with many spiritual teachings from the scriptures. But frankly, such utterances only aggravate the anguish of Srimati Radhika. That Uddhava, who is a true follower of his teacher Brihaspati, now holds the post of prime minister in the Yadu court. Our friend Yamuna is a sister of Lord Yamaraj. These two are no longer actively pursuing our interests. O chief of the Yadus, who else is there known to us in your court who will be able to properly narrate Radhika's sorrows and thus appease you? Due to throwing herself on the ground in agony, Srimati Radhika has become bruised externally as well as internally. She is enwrapped in great hopes that have yet to be fulfilled, and her bodily color has become pale. She finds no joy in anything, and thus even her conversation and amusements in association of her girlfriends have come to an end. O Krishna, you are like the moon. When will you come and revive Radha with the touch of your feet, just as the moon revives the lily with the touch of its rays? O hero, for so long my Sakhi has hoped against hope for reunion with you, and only for that reason did she make any effort to protect her life against innumerable threats. Now, however, the faintest hope for such a reunion has deserted her, as the expected date of your return has long since passed. She is calmly gazing at the mango buds in expectation of a quick demise. Previously, she would not dare to look at things which promote the memory of you, her beloved. But now she is looking at them thinking they will expedite her expiry. Radhika's end is near, and her friends have long since given up efforts to save her. For they can see that Cupid has causelessly chosen to make her his enemy and torment her. It is impossible to do anything at all to help her. Only one friend remains by the side of the lotus-eyed Radha to preserve her life, and that is the hope of your return. O Krishna, expert enjoyer of the rasa dance, if you have truly forsaken that Radha with whom you once created a love which deepened in intensity at every moment, then curses on this swab of cotton which we are holding before her nose and which indicates that there is still some slight bit of life within her. O Mukunda, who on earth can narrate the hundreds of things that Radharani says in her delirious state? O Lord, let me repeat some of those utterances. Please make these statements enter into your beautiful ears, which are decorated by dolphin-shaped earrings.